This is ARRL's Eclectic Tech, a bi-weekly look at the technical and scientific side of amateur radio with your host Steve Ford, WB8IMY. Eclectic Tech is brought to you by ICOM. ICOM, for the love of ham radio, is about the passion for an incredible hobby. Visit ICOM in the community webpage at www.icomamerica.com/community.
I'm on the telephone with Norm Fusaro, W3IZ. Good afternoon, Norm.
Hey, Steve. How you doing today?
Good, good. Now, up until, well, a year ago this month, you were the ARRL Operations Director at headquarters in Newington, Connecticut, right?
That's true.
And you retired. And
I did.
You did. And you moved to northeastern Pennsylvania.
Right, right. We moved back to our home state, and we're enjoying it quite a bit.
Now, the reason I bring this up was when you were living in Connecticut, which you lived here for a number of years, you had, at least by my standards, a pretty impressive array of antennas at your house. I recall that you had a tower. And how tall was that tower?
So you're right, Steve. I was in Connecticut for 17 years. I worked for the league. So I had a 56-foot freestanding Trilon tower with a Venture Skyhawk on there for 10, 15, and 20. And then also a Venture Skylark for 17 and 12. And then I had a, in the back, I had a four square for 40 meters. A four square array. I'm sure listeners may know what they are. It's basically four vertical antennas that when you change the phasing of them, you can steer the signal in different directions. And then I also had did a variety of 80 meter verticals, but ended up with a modified butternut HF2V. I took out the 40 meter coil and added more aluminum to it to make it taller for 80. And it had a significant amount of radials underneath of it. So it worked pretty well.
Yeah, it was impressive. And then all of that had to come down when you moved out to Pennsylvania and you had to reestablish yourself. And as you put it, you more or less downsized. And that's what I wanted to talk about, because there are a lot of hams who say are retiring, they are moving, and they're having to change their antenna situation, or they're altogether new hams who are just looking at perhaps not having all that much property for sizable HF antennas. And I thought your example would be a good one, because you've still, despite your downsizing, are doing impressive work from your new home.
Well, yes, Steve. It's funny. We kind of go round circle. If you remember back to your novice days, you probably same way started out with some sort of a wire antenna, whether it was a dipole or an NFET or something. And we were young and didn't have money then. So I remember my very first antenna. I lived in Philadelphia. I was fortunate to live on a corner lot. And I had a 40 meter dipole that was basically hung off the chimney and went to the corners of the property. And that was what got me on the air. So got a beam and moved and, got bigger and bigger and bigger. Susan, like you said, up in Connecticut, there was a pretty formidable station that I had set up. But then, retirement called, and I was really itching to get back to PA. And as my wife and I were looking, there was a couple of things we wanted in our retirement, which is we wanted to be in a lake community where there was fishing. That's another hobby of mine, and beach and that kind of stuff, and of course the community that goes with that. And we looked at looked at the bylaws. So that you see who would allow any kind of an antenna, and where we live is actually a very desirable community, and they do allow ham radio antennas in the form of a monopole not taller than 32 feet. It has to be in the back of the house. So that's what they allowed, and my butternut setup fits that bill really good.
Well, now describe how that is set up right now and what band you use it for.
Okay, so if you're not familiar with the butternut antenna, I've had these prior in my life, and they work very, very well. They were originally made by the Bencher company, who made the Skylark and the Skyhawk that I had before. But now DX Engineering owns the company, and they still turn out a quality product. So the one I have is the HF6V, which operates six bands. So it's 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, and 80. They make a 9V, which will do, which will include 12 and 17. But I didn't opt for that option because they're a little finicky to tune and not as effective. So anyway, I set the thing up. It's ground mounted. It's meant to be ground mounted. I use the DX Engineering radial plate, which is pre-drilled with holes to accept the 1/4-inch stainless steel bolts, and connected to the radial plate is 40 radials that are 35 feet long each. And as a rule of thumb, when you're putting up vertical antennas, they don't, when they're ground, the radials on the ground do not have to be a wavelength or a 1/4 of a wavelength or anything, because they're touching the ground.
That's right.
So the rule of thumb is the radials need to be taller than the radiator. So since this radiator is 26 feet tall, I made them 35 feet, and that's how I did it.
And I've seen photos of that. You are fortunate to be able to set out those radials on or in the soil in a nice circular pattern around the monopole itself.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, a photograph is on my QRZ listing, QRZ.com. If you just look up my call sign, you can see a picture of the antenna and the radials. So also, even though we're permitted to have the monopole, I spray painted it flat black with Rust-Oleum flat black spray paint, because a shiny aluminum in the woods, just, you know, a glint of sunlight would just attract anybody's curiosity, and I didn't want that. You know, even though it's permitted, I just don't need to attract attention. I want to be very low profile.
Absolutely. And from what I've seen of it, if you were some distance from the house, it would be difficult to distinguish it from a tree or a branch of a tree.
I have friends who know where it is, and when they drive down the street, they look for it and they can't find it.
Now, how much feed line do you have going into your house then? And what kind of feed line?
Okay, so, all right. Distance from the house to the antenna is probably about 50 feet. Okay, approximately 50 feet. And my feed lines go to a junction box that has a copper bulkhead in there, and it has polyphaser lightning arresters. So there's a ground rod right under that that connects that bulkhead. And also the ground from the station comes down to there. My station's on the second floor in a spare bedroom. And then from that junction box, that bulkhead, the feed lines go up into the through the soffit into the attic and then back down into there. So it's approximately about 100, maybe 120 feet of coax run total from the antenna to the radio.
Okay. And what kind of feed line?
RG213.
213. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're not seeing much loss there. And of course, with the antenna properly tuned for each band, your SWRs are reasonably low.
Oh, yeah. Again, if you read the instructions for the antenna and follow them in the order and tune it in the order that they tell you, it's a very easy antenna to tune. And once it's tuned, it's pretty much set. You have to remember it's a high Q antenna. So on 80 meters, it has very, very, very narrow bandwidth. And here's an interesting fact, Steve. I would normally have tuned that for the CW portion of 80 meters, the lower end, which is usually the DX window. And I had to make a decision, and I actually tuned that for the FT8 portion because that's where there's most of the activity today.
That is true. Yeah. And you, speaking of activity, and we're going to get subjective here, obviously, but this is a stealth antenna installation, really. How does it perform?
Excellent. Excellent. And you know, there are people who really downplay vertical antennas, and mostly because their experience has been they weren't installed properly. They didn't have good radial systems. They didn't have good ground system. And they were just unhappy with them. But this antenna system performs very, very well. I have no problem working Oceana. I can work ZL and you know, VK, no problem. I can work you know, JAs. I can work anywhere in Asia. I can work anywhere, you know, in Europe, no problem at all. It's you know, again, I'm going to boast, but if you put a good operator in a decent station, they're going to perform. But it's the truth. The thing does. Now, I have to tell you, I may have to wait a couple of times, my turn in a pile up, as opposed to when I had the big monster tower, but I get through.
Well, you make a good point. I mean, you have stepped down, you know, as we said at the beginning, from this very capable, impressive station. Not that your current station isn't capable or impressive, for that matter. Do you notice a difference? I'm sure you do. How great is the difference? That's what I really mean.
Well, you know, obviously it's there's a difference. I mean, you know, I used to be able to, just for fun, I would just even point the antenna to the west and get on 20 meters when I was in Connecticut. And I would, you know, just call CQ, and I would have every 100 watt in a wire station calling me, and QRP guys and guys in parks and whatever would be calling me, and I could hear everybody. Now, obviously, I don't have front to back or forward gain with a vertical. You know, it's an omnidirectional antenna, but I have no problem, you know, making contacts. In fact, you know, just a little while ago, before, you know, chatting with you, I was on 40 CW, and you know, it was no problem making a couple of contacts. Of course, they were all stateside, local stuff, but you know, it's fairly. Yeah, I mean, it certainly is not a beam. That's
sure,
what I'm trying
sure.
to say. Yeah.
Well, now, just recently, I saw that you had been experimenting with the NFED antenna that's offered by ARRL. And in fact, I saw some photos that you had set that up. How did that work out?
Okay, so it's... look, it's able to tune on all the bands, you know, not a problem. It's a 40 meter NFED half wave antenna. It has a 49:1 transformer that you build, and you run the wire out. Now, again, logistically, I had a tree close to the house, which I used a bungee cord to hang that transformer box to, and I had another tree approximately 70 feet away that took the 66 foot of line, and it's not very high or anything, but that direction runs due east. So I made some CW contacts and some phone contacts with it stateside, and you got fair reports, you know. I think on the CW contact, a fellow was operating from a park on Parks on the Air, and I had to send my call several times for him to get it. But when I made a European contact, since that antenna is pointed in that direction, it made a contact, no problem.
Sure.
But I would definitely take the resonant dipole or this vertical that I have set up over the NFED half wave.
Well, somebody who's in a really constrained situation, they're super limited by what they can put up. Would you say that the NFED is a decent alternative?
Well, you're still going to need space to run the wire, because if you're using a 40 meter NFED, it's 66 feet of wire you have to be able to get out. Now, let me tell you, there's a fellow in the contest club that I belong to, the Frankfurt Radio Club, who is living in an apartment now, and he runs an NFED with 30 feet of magnet wire to a tree on the sidewalk. And, you know, he still makes a couple hundred contacts for the in a contest, a CW contest. So, you know, any antenna is better than no antenna.
Yep. Anything will work.
Yeah. And, you know, in addition to the butternut vertical, I also have a 4080 20 meter dipole up. I took one of the Alpha Delta DXDD, which is the 4080 antenna. So it has these coils in it, which shortens it. So it's an 82-foot antenna instead of 130 feet.
Yes.
And I added two legs on it for 20 meters, you know, so that gives me an option from the vertical to the dipole for 20 meters, because 20 meters is your meat and potatoes DX band.
Yes.
And so it gives me an option there. And then for 12 and 17, I made a dipole out of twin lead. So the one piece of the twin lead is cut for 17 meters, and then the other piece of twin lead is cut for 12, and it's fed with one coax. And incidentally, I did complete my 12 meter DXCC here.
Oh, congratulations.
In PA. Yeah, all those years of having a 12 meter beam, and of course the sunspots weren't cooperating. I did very, very little 12 meter activity. But yeah, it was done with the dipole.
Again, you've established a good example for someone who is downsizing, or someone, once again, who is brand new and is saying, what am I going to do? I can't afford a tower. I don't have room for a tower, because that's what they always see in magazines like QST, that basically you can do a lot of good work and have fun with just smaller, stealthier antennas.
Well, you know, one of our colleagues once said, don't let your living conditions affect you, stop you from getting on the air. And it's so true. Whether you live in an apartment you have some HOA restrictions, HOAs can still be, you know, negotiated with, unless they're really hard fast, or you live next door to a real, Mrs. Kravitz, who just has her nose in business all the time. But, you can be very, very stealth, and, you can get on the air. And one of the things you have to accept too is sometimes you may not be able to get on all bands. So you may have to pick a band and say, hey, listen, I can get on 20 meters, or I can put something up for 15 and 40. Because remember, a 40 meter antenna will still work on 15, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, you just might have to accept, like, I know I'm not going to get on 160 here. You know, it's just not going to happen.
Sure. Excellent advice, Norm. I will follow your advice, because one of these days I'm already downsized. I hope to downsize even further.
Well, you know, I told one of our colleagues who had a big station. In fact, if you remember, Dave Sumner had a big station. Dave Patton had a big station. They probably had the biggest stations of all the police at headquarters. And I was right behind him. I was number three, you know, we were discussing, what would you be happy with if you went down and blah, blah. And I said, well, I tell you what I would do. I said, I would find a friend with a big station, and I would become real friendly with them. So that's my next step when I am, you know.
Well, thank you very much, Norm.
Steve, it's a pleasure talking to you again.
You too.
Tune in again for the next episode of Eclectic Tech, produced by ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. Music is provided by Purple Planet at purpleplanet.com. If you have comments, email eclectic@arrl.org. This episode is copyright ARRL, and all rights are reserved. I'm Sabrina Jackson, KC1JMW. See you next time.